come on that day, and we know it's one day.
Right.
It's a one-day event, and we see that the sun and the moon is going to be darkened,
right.
And then he's going to appear. There's going to be a harvest, and that harvest is a harvest of people, one toward destruction, to Armageddon, and the other into his kingdom. But then he also has to come back with us. But I just want to, as you were praying, I think the Lord put something on my heart about where we're at, because Asha was saying, she brought up the Ukraine,
right.
And how we just see that there's been these chain of global things the last 2.5 years. They're all global.
They're all global.
They all involve the whole world.
Yep. The food shortage, the fertilizer, this, all of these are touching the whole world at the same time.
Yeah. So, I mean, you think about it, and COVID was real.
Yep.
Where nobody's going to say it's not a real thing. And it's clearly a real man-made pandemic that has been used. So just in Matthew 24... which, you know, the Olivet Discourse, they're asking Jesus, what is the sign of your coming and the end of the world? And he goes on to say things that are about to take place during this time. And what he talks about that the generation that see these things will not pass. So a generation does not necessarily mean, the Bible does not say it's 40 years, 80 years, 120 years. It is a generation of people at that time. And Jesus said when he comes on the day of judgment, he's going to bring up the generation of Sodom and Gomorrah with Capernaum. Those are people that were living in that time. It's not a fixed time. Like the dispensationalists say, they like to say, well, it's 40 years, you know. Israel got into the land in 1949, and 80 years is a gen. They're constantly pushing it. They're constantly being wrong.
It's when that generation dies.
It's right. It's when a generation starts and dies out.
Yeah.
The Bible says Adam's generation was what? 939, whatever it was. So there, and then he actually says that the generation of the creation was 6 days.
Yeah.
So a generation just means when something starts and it dies out. It could be any number of things.
Better word than dispensation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what's been dispensed since
grace?
That's the one thing. There's not 7 dispensations. And if you're a gapper, you now have 9 dispensations. Mm-hmm. There's only one dispensation. Fallen man, God's grace on fallen man. And when I said that deeper in the age, I was saying it sarcastically because I can't stand it. This doctrine has, maybe one day we'll just do a study on dispensationalism. It chops it up and it says, well, this is for you, this is for you, this is for the Jews, this is for the Gentiles, and you're like, no, it's all for me.
Right.
It's all for the believer.
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead.
I would really like to do a study on that, because when people talk about it, I don't understand.
Yeah.
It's just a word I keep hearing that's thrown out, but I really don't understand.
Yeah, and that's what they say. They say that God's plan for the ages. You know, that there was a dispensation of the creation, a dispensation of the fall, a dispensation of government, a dispensation, you know, all these different things, but Bible only says the only thing that's ever been dispensed is grace, right? Man says, well, God has these different ages and how he's dealt with mankind. And so that's where they get this idea where, you know, there's these different things that have been given to mankind from God.
And so if she really wants to look into it, not that I would suggest this book for doctrinal understanding, but the distant truth, the dispensation of truth.
Yeah.
Or Clarence Larkin's. Well,
yeah.
Just a teaching on that. Because you'll go through the, what is that truth?
Dispensational truth.
Dispensational truth.
Right.
And it explains the doctrine of dispensation, but that doctrine is not a doctrine that's in the Bible, it's a doctrine of men, and it was directed by devils.
Well, and that's just it too. I mean, this is something where you actually have to be a student of the Bible, to really understand what they're saying is lying. Because he will take these things and they'll sound good. You know, they sound good. Like, oh, you know, the pre-trib rapture, God wouldn't beat up his bride. It sounds good. But it's not biblical, and you actually have to be a student of the Bible to realize what he's saying is their lives. They're just constant
lives.
Well,
the first time I read it, it sounds so good, and the graphics look good.
He's got the charts.
And all that kind of stuff. The thing that really tipped me off to it, because he said the pre-Adamic dispensation, that there was a time that Satan ruled this earth before Adam ever was created, and that the angelic host had the earth. And in that dispensation, God allowed it to finish at the creation of man and the temptation of humankind.
Well, and the dispensationalism, in a nutshell, is basically there's different plans for different people. There's a different plan for the Jews. There's a different plan for the Gentiles. And there's a different plan for the church.
Right.
There's these different plans. But you see, anybody who's studying this, we all meet together at the same place at the same day. Jew and Gentile, believer and unbeliever, are going to be standing before the judgment seat of Christ on the day of the Lord.
Amen.
And that to me is really what it's going to, when we get to, and they all surround the feast. This is what, we're under a covenant.
Right.
Dispensationalism does not teach covenant theology.
Right.
It teaches that, the Jews had to do, they had grace, but they had to keep the law, which nobody kept.
Right.
Okay? We're under a covenant. The covenant is, God says, you're a sinner.
Yeah.
Do you believe the blood of my son, whether pre-Christ or post? Because they were well aware of redemption through the blood because of the sacrifices. Don't forget, Job, he was in a Jew. Abraham, the sacrificial system wasn't set up yet, but yet they were sacrificing according to the law without even having the law.
Right.
So they knew that the shedding of blood at that time represented Christ in his coming. So this is the covenant. My son shed his blood. Do you believe that? Yes. I signed the covenant. I'm in the book. I'm here. I believe that. That's the covenant. You can break the covenant. He doesn't.
Right.
He still paid the price of blood by the covenant of the book. I can break it. I can say, well, I no longer believe that.
Right.
So
when you do, your part of the contract is null and void.
That's right.
Which then you have the other reward for that, which is eternal damnation.
That's right.
So there's a reward on both sides. Hey. Either eternity with the covenant in Christ or eternal damnation without the covenant.
That's right. And dispensationalism teaches all you got to do is make a profession of faith and you're good. You could go live like the devil, Rory, after you made this profession of faith, and you're in.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
No, well, we can talk
covenant,
about
it. Yeah, so we're getting lots of.
We can chase that rabbit all day.
We will. You know what?
It's a great study.
It is. It will. Believe you, got somebody here. This is not this, because I've had a problem with this for a long time, and God showed it to me. And it's because it's a lie. And I've heard people say, well, you can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. There's some good things in it. And there's verses in the Bible that says they're doctrines of devils.
Right.
So if this is not a biblical doctrine, dispensationalism, what is it? It's a doctrine of a devil.
Again, like in Scripture, there's only two kind of people.
That's right.
Saved and lost. There's only two kind of doctrines.
That's
doctrines of demons and doctrines of God.
Yeah.
All right? It's pretty much cut and dry.
And we're not talking about babies and bathwater.
No.
We're talking about doctrine.
Which, by the way, nobody ever threw the baby out with
that. Exactly.
All right? It's a thing that never happened.
That's right. All right. So I was just thinking about what Asha said about end times and, where we could be at. We don't know. So Matthew 24, just think of the events of the past year. A pandemic, vaccines, war, right, the Ukraine. Look what he said here, Matthew 24:3. And he came upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when these things shall be, what shall be the sign of that coming and the end of the world. And Jesus answered unto them and said, take heed that no man see me. So now he's going to tell you the events that are going to take place leading up to his coming and the end of the world. So first he's going to say, for many shall come in my name and shall, saying I am Christ, shall deceive many. And then there will be a pre-trib rapture where I will remove the church. says no verse.
Says no.
It would be there, right?
Right. That's where it would be.
If he's going to tell you the events that take place, I would imagine it would be right there, but it's not. So what does he say? You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. What are we doing right now?
Right.
We are hearing rumors of wars and rumors of war. What's the one word you hear about this war? It's not just Ukraine and Russia. Mm-hmm. The word I keep hearing is World War III.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. For nation shall rise against nation. You know, that nation, it is a nation in a nation.
Right.
What have we seen in this nation and nations around the world? BLM movement, interracial nations against each other,
yes.
Warring against each other,
mm-hmm.
Conservatives against liberals, Democrats, Republicans, wars, and this is going on globally where people are pushing back against the government. You're getting nation against nation. Okay.
It's disappearing. We're polarizing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a perfect word, Rory. We're becoming more polarized in what we believe.
Right.
And that is causing wars with nations within
nations.
Because he already said wars and rumors of wars, which means global nations.
Yes.
And then he says nations within nations. Go ahead, Wendy.
Mine is it's a supervision. It's like a microcosm. It's what I learned last night.
Oh, wow.
I learned that I'm watching this concert, and it was sad. And I went out, and I heard a woman say to another woman, "What did you think? What did you think of the concert?" She said, "It was awesome." And I'm thinking, did you go to a different concert? But this is what I've learned, though. I thought about it in the night when I couldn't sleep. that I either was genuine in what I said, sincere in what I said, or I was mean. I either said the truth,
mm-hmm.
He should not be singing and charging money for a concert he simply physically is not up to it. That would have been honest, but that would have made me mean.
Right.
If I say, right?
No, I don't think it will make you mean.
For some, if I had said to that girl, "It was awesome," I said, "Are you kidding me?"
No, but you did that with the fact.
I did that. But what I saw is, this is where it's happening in society. They keep people controlling, right, because they don't want to be the mean person.
Right.
They're the one who speaks the truth.
Right.
So the truth is ugly. Don't speak the truth.
Right.
Just be nice.
Yeah.
Kevin asked somebody, you know, "What did you think of the concert?" "Oh, I thought it was great." Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
You thought it was great. It creates this feeling of either I have to be disingenuous.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and I know this is just a superficial thing. I understand. But I think it applied. This is in one way the enemy is used. This is part of polarizing.
Yeah.
I can't speak
truth.
If I speak truth, I'm mean and I'm unkind or I'm fatalistic.
Yeah.
Or I'm
like social
negative.
Reinforcement.
Yeah, if you don't get the vaccine, you hate your grandma.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, if you're not social distancing, you hate grandpa. If you don't go along with the guy putting on a girl's bathing suit and swimming in a women's division of college.
You're a hater.
Yes. There's something wrong with you.
So
as I say, you want to see lost people? I was in a hockey tournament this weekend. These people are drinking beer at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Woo-hoo.
And they're passing beers around after a game. And you're like, one of the things came up that, you know, then they asked me to play on their team. I said, "I won't play Sunday. I won't play it. Sunday are the championship rounds." So they just assumed we weren't going to get to the championship round. So they're like, "Yeah, play with us anyway." Well, we're advancing. They're playing right now. And they were asking me last night, after we got done, they said, "Well, are you going to?" I said, "I'm not going to play. I told you I'm not going to play. I said, I want to be in church on Sunday morning." You know, they starving. Well, they're slamming down beer. This is a lost world.
Right.
And the lost, it's like, there were guys playing last night that were drunk. And I'm like, and everybody got a kick out of it. And I'm not trying to look down at them like the Pharisee.
No,
really?
No.
But right.
And even just in this concert, he poured open a beer, and of course everybody, it just, and it's like Kevin said earlier, we need each other.
Right.
Because it can be hard. hard to take that kind of stand.
Absolutely.
If not the, I think the one you made was a very quick cut, but what was I going to say last night? It was very uncomfortable for me.
Yeah, right.
It really was, because I didn't want to say.
You don't want to offend somebody, and you don't want to go along with a lie.
Exactly. So
I think what you're saying is two different things. When you liked the guy, you weren't really walking with God. Right? I mean, way back in 1970s.
I listened to him.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, I listened to him last night. But
yeah,
my concert was much better. He was much younger on the recording.
and I don't want... See, here's the thing. I don't want to slam age.
Right.
I don't want to slam
good.
He was 83. He was not able.
Right.
And no one would say it.
He was our president.
Amen. Absolutely.
Yes, and that was one of my comments. But what I'm saying is this all factors in. If we don't recognize it on a micro level, we can have a hard time relating how we relate to the macro level.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
I work at the Irondequoit Recreation Center, and my glory, I should say, of 50 years of working is relating to people.
Yeah.
So basically what I try to do is to put smiles and laughter on people's faces.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, I am very honest with my feelings.
Right.
I'm very honest about what you were saying, Wendy. I would have told that person exactly what I thought. And I would say that's honesty, what God expects me to do.
Right.
We use common sense. We use respect. We use caring. And we use thoughtfulness of the other person's well-being and my own well-being.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not going to cover up who Rick is. I'm sorry. Rick
that's
is Rick.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do what God asked
that's
me to
right.
do
that's right.
in a faith-filled, Christ-like way.
Yeah, we're to be lights in the dark world.
Exactly.
We're the city on the hill.
So, Wendy, if I was standing next to you, I would say, go for it, girl. No, I would. I would. And
she
I would say...
No one said it directly to me except my children. And
but
I did
what I'm saying is that God wants us to use God's common sense and through the Holy Spirit to do God's work each and every day under all circumstances.
Well, I just looked back at, you know, yesterday when they're telling me to play... I'm peculiar to them. I'm not drinking beer with them. I'm not using the language they're using.
They're noting
it. Me and a couple guys, you know, hitting each other into the boards, and I didn't yell at him, curse at him. I'm like, you all right, buddy? He's on the other team. They're seeing something different, and that's all you can say. It's not, you know, and I'm not. It's not fake. I love my God. That's why I don't want to sin. I don't want to not sin so I can just, you know, be a good guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to not sin because I love my God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And in this thing about telling the truth in a crowd that doesn't realize truth, there's an old fairy tale about this, the king who had no clothes.
Well, that's all I can think of is the emperor with no clothes, and I'm watching
it
at the
emperor. Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
Well, I think what we're seeing, what we're talking about here is this next line.
Right.
So you see, you saw nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom.
Yes.
So now you have nations against nations. You have nations within a nation. Well, wait a minute. Kingdom against kingdom.
Yeah.
What's the kingdom? There are two kingdoms.
Yeah.
There are two kingdoms. And there's God's kingdom, and there's the kingdom of this world that is run by the devil. If we get a chance, we can look at the devil. I want to look at him. We looked at him a little last week, but I want to look at him some more. This is his world.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Jesus said it.
Right.
It is his world. Even though God is the God of the whole world, he controls what goes on in this world, and he allows the devil to do things.
It's the difference between the earth and the world.
Yeah.
God's the God of the earth. He created the earth. The world is a system.
But even that, he's in control of it, and he has handed it over to the devil because it said that Babylon, which is the world system, had been a golden cup in the Lord's hand. And who is the king of Babylon? We saw it last week. It's not Nebuchadnezzar.
Or Tyre.
It's right. It's Satan. Okay, so look, kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. So we've seen pestilence. We're seeing, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
The food.
Yeah.
Right?
Now,
the
catch
food.
This in its organization.
Yeah.
All right. First, there's going to come famines. which again is talking about the first horse that rides in Revelation 6. Famines, after famines comes diseases, pestilences, all right, and after that there'll be these earthquakes in different places.
That's right.
And we're going to see a cascading effect, or it might not be, it's crescendo, it's building to an event. All right, but the famine is right here.
Absolutely.
We have a missionary in Kenya emailed us this past week and says, my people, church is starving, there is no food.
That's right.
Right? There's no food.
And that's what you've constantly heard since the oil prices have been going up, is it's going to cause less food.
Right.
There's going to be food shortages. Imagine, look, Kenya, they can probably survive better on a can of beans than an American can.
Yeah, they'll take a bean and cut it into four.
That's right. Okay, so I just wanted to, so there he goes. It says these are the beginnings of sorrows.
Yeah.
So it means that there's actually a start to all this.
Yes.
And, you know, I've said all along that, you know, I'm not so sure about the seven-year period, but I can see a three-and-a-half-year period.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also, this is obviously before the three-and-a-half-year period.
Yeah.
Clearly before, because the abomination of desolation is in verse 15.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Last time I looked, verse 15 is after verse 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So that means something has to start first. And like I said, I think we're in this gray area where as a Christian, you're spiritually watching what's going on. You're going, is this the time?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm watching.
And I always come back to that thing where Daniel saw the rise of the little horn.
That's right.
It doesn't say how long that crescendo, that rise is. And we always think about earthly kingdoms. He pulls up three earthly kingdoms. No, I all of that stuff is spiritual. He disrupts some things in the spiritual realms that we may not see.
That's right.
As a little horn rising out of ten.
Yeah.
Right? We don't see it like that. We don't see this guy rising until he's ready to take over the temple.
That's right.
Right? So there's...
If you're not spiritually prepared, you're going to keep going along with the narratives of what are... And I'm not talking about the unbeliever.
No.
I'm talking about Christianity. If you're going to keep following these pastors and these teachers on TV and YouTube that are telling you we're going to be removed, they are not being prepared for what's about to happen.
Right.
There's nothing to watch for. Pre-trib rapture, there's nothing to watch for. Dave's sitting there with his pen on his Bible, poof, we're all gone. There's nothing to look out for. There's
no
wars, rumors of wars, right?
You have no chance of being deceived.
That's right.
Right?
But we see the abomination of desolation. Look at verse 42. Watch what?
Mm-hmm.
Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, if the good men of the house would have known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think the Son of Man cometh.
Mm-hmm.
So he's telling us to watch. And obviously, he's saying the Son of Man is going to come very quickly.
Mm-hmm. And look at Mark 13, chapter 3, parable of 24.
Yeah.
Matthew 24, Mark 13, at the end of that chapter, it says in verse 37, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch.
That's right.
Watch. We gotta watch.
Yeah.
We're not listening for
trumpet. That's right.
We're watching.
That's
the commandment was to watch.
And yeah, I'll say this too, Kev. I mean, everybody points to that last trumpet, which obviously is going to be a sound that we are going to hear.
Right.
And the whole world hears it. So if I'm going to hear a last trumpet, and I read in the book of Revelation there's six other trumpets, what makes me think we're not going to hear them? What makes us think that we're only going to hear the last one?
Right.
And I really do believe that when these two witnesses take their place, when the abomination of desolation and the Satan, the Antichrist, stops the daily sacrifice, he takes steps into the temple, he says, I'm God, worship me. I think that's when you're going to hear the first trumpet. I think the trumpets are the great tribulation.
Right.
What you're seeing is you're seeing the same thing that happened in the Exodus and the same thing Elijah did. They were calling up to God and God responded. You hear a trumpet and God is now sending his punishment down. It's not his wrath, it's judgment according to the people on the earth. Right? So I think the first trumpet starts the Great Tribulation. Because by the time you get to the fifth trumpet, you have 5 months. So I can see we're within 5 months of the end of the world.
Right.
And if it's the end of the world, what does that mean? Is there going to, there is, the end of the world means the end of the world. That means there's a new world.
The interesting thing is that when we hear that sound, those who are watching, those who are waiting, those who know his word, will recognize what it is.
That's right.
The rest of the world.
I agree. I think there's something to what Brent is saying. I think the whole world is going to hear the stuff. They're going to go, oh, there's something. What is that? What is that noise? Is the earth? Is it global warming? You know? Yeah, but we're going to go.
It might not be the exact same sound because when the Lord spoke to Paul,
that's what I was thinking.
That's right.
It's a different sound.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
They hear a sound, but it wasn't the same sound.
That's right.
And each trumpet has a different tone. And you have to know the tone. The wise man on the wall, when he sounds the tone of the trumpet, every trumpet has a different tone, and you have to be in tune to the tone that's being sounded. Just like in the military, you got different bugle calls, different pitches of bugles that has different effects to the troops.
And that's what I think. I think we talked about the latter rain. We know that the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out again like it did in Acts. They're going to see miracles. You're going to see signs and wonders. That these are some of the signs that if you truly have the Holy Spirit in you, we're going to go, that's trumpet number one.
Right.
That's trumpet number two. Yeah. So, I mean, and it shows you how quickly, you know, these things happen quickly.
Yeah.
That's why I say these are events that take place on the day of the Lord. But they happen quickly, and if you look at Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. Okay, so that means they're going to start happening quickly. You know, when he says, I don't want to get into it. Maybe I would. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I know that Sunday we call the Lord's Day. But can you show me where the Bible says Sunday is the Lord's Day?
Yeah, first day of the week.
First day of the week. I literally believe that he was in a vision of the day of the Lord.
Yes, amen,
And God started opening this thing up. I think he was meditating on the Bible, and he was thinking on the day of the Lord. And God said, all right, I'm going to open this thing up. Get ready, John. I'm going to give you the whole thing, and you're going to write 22 chapters of it. So that's just my view of it. Verse 3, blessed is he that readeth and heareth the words of this prophecy. Why don't Christians, why don't pastors, why don't teachers study the book of Revelation? Let me read that again.
Because it makes you fight.
Right? let's read that again.
That's not what we do here.
Blessed is he who readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy.
Special blessing.
Keep those things which are, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. It's within reach. So there you go.
I will be honest with you. The book of Revelation is not God's easiest message to mankind.
Right.
It's a very for me. It's a very difficult understanding.
Right.
But Romans is second to that.
Amen.
Right, but it is here, so we can understand. Right?
I spent 6 months studying this book.
Yeah.
In another Bible study group, so I know.
Yeah. But I mean, God didn't put it in here for us not to understand.
That's right.
Right.
Amen.
Okay. So Revelation 2:5, Church of Ephesus, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly. So he's coming quickly. And here's a warning to a church that says, if you don't repent, I'm going to come to you on that day of the Lord, which means they're clearly in the tribulation if he's going to come quickly at the end of it.
Yeah.
Okay, 2:16. Repent, same thing. He's warning people, repent or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against him with the sword of my mouth. The sword of my mouth. What event is this, Kevin?
That's the return.
This is Armageddon.
It's Armageddon, yeah.
Which means that they had to make it all the way through tribulation to get to Armageddon, right? The Bible just starts to explain itself. Right. You don't need me. All you need is the Bible to explain itself.
And the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You cannot understand this without being born again.
Yep. 3:11. Okay, so we've talked about things that are gonna that God has shown is gonna take place. Right. What is another event that is gonna take place that the whole world is gonna be tempted by?
Oh, they're gonna mark.
The mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them upon the earth. So, I believe this is the mark. But the pre-tribbers say, and the dispensationalists say, oh no, that's a pre-trib rapture. We're being kept from the hour of temptation. So when is an hour a seven-year period, Doug? An hour is an hour. Think of this. He steps in the temple, he says, everybody needs to receive a mark and be on my side. How long did that take? Right? That is within an hour of it being offered. Now, it could be days where people take it. But it's offered in that hour.
How long did it take him to shut down the world system?
That's right.
3 years ago.
That's right.
3 years ago.
Right? I think that whole... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, they came up with the virus. The virus got released. And how... Within 24 hours, they shut down the economic system of the world.
That's right.
Around
just
the world.
Like that.
Just out of fear.
Out of fear.
How do they control people right now? Oh, there's another variant. There's a war.
The bird flu.
Yeah, we're all going to die. Everything's gloom and doom to them. And they say we're gloom and doom. I have hope.
Yeah.
I have said all along. I've slept like a baby these last 2.5 years.
Yeah.
I wish I could say. No, but anyway, I have to say this, though. Each one of those churches, they're types of Christians.
Yes, amen.
They were actually physically principal churches, locations, but the types of
they're
Christians.
They're characteristics of Christians.
And what's interesting about the book, Church of Philadelphia, is that they had a little strength. They were along with Smyrna, right? They were the two churches that didn't have anything bad to say about
that. Right.
And it says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee.
That's right.
From the hour of temptation. And what do I think? I don't know. He's going to keep the Philadelphian Christian from the hour of temptation.
Right.
And I think it may be that
they're gone.
He's not going to allow them to take it.
They may have died. They may have been, they may have actually been targeted. Yeah. And they're not going to have to worry about debating whether they're going to receive that money.
Well, first of all, it doesn't say I will remove you from the hour of temptation, right? He says, I'll keep you from it. What does that mean? It means he's not going to allow you murder you, imprison you, or whether God himself takes you in death, he is going to keep you from that hour of temptation.
Right.
Because then it's going to be a great temptation.
Yeah, sure.
You need to take this to buy and sell, feed your family, be on board with the Antichrist, right?
So which also points to this vaccine that everybody has been told that they need to take is not the mark of the beast.
It's not.
But I do say it is a prelude. It's a getting you used to the idea that you have to trust the science over what the body
is. Gives us an idea of what it's going to be like.
Yes.
That's right.
It's
right.
Kind of like a picture for us to see.
It's
how it's
going
to go.
That's all they're doing. They're just preparing person to take the mark.
Yes.
And it could be, these things are all linked together. Vaccines, 5G, wars, all these things could be linked together where somebody would just say, been programmed to just take it.
Right.
Especially if you're offering, if you're not a Christian and you're off, what did Jesus say? Those who seek to save their life in this world shall lose it. And those that lose their life in this world shall gain it. This is the people that are seeking to save their life in this world. What if I said to you, as an unbeliever, we're going to put this thing in you and you can live an extra 50 or 100 years without disease. People would jump all over it. Okay, so look at the next verse. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, and no man take thy crown. When do you get your crown? Once again, everything is pointing at the end. That was verse 11, 10 and 11.
Oh, yours, my brother.
Yeah. Look at 11:14.
Of the Revelation?
Yeah. Yeah. So look at this. So this is the sixth and seventh trumpet. Mm-hmm. Okay, 14. One woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And then look at the next verse. And the seventh angel sounded. So there's your last trumpet. And it's coming quickly. So, you know, I can keep going on and on with this. But, you know, the Bible talks about he's going to make a speedy riddance in Isaiah of everything. That shall he make the earth to be brought forth in one day? Shall I bring to, should I bring to birth and not travail? These things are going to happen quickly. And I thought, like Curtis did last week with him and Allison with the blanket. That is the key. That was perfect. That there's this world here. Christ is coming with his kingdom, and that thing is coming down, and it is pushing this world under him, into the earth, into hell, and the kingdom of God, that's biblical. We are going to reign on the earth in the kingdom of heaven, and it's going to be a new world. It's not just heavenly, it's going to be heaven and earth together. It's going to be a perfect planet, plants again, animals not eating each other, us not eating animals. And it's clearly taught in the Bible that there is a perfect, and they're going to be under us. And I think, like Gayla was saying last week, about what does it mean to rule and reign? And we assume that it is this events that take place for years, but I think where you see it is, it's a one-time event when he rules and reigns over them and destroys them, and he's done with them.
What do you call that time?
I call it Day of the Lord.
Yeah.
So to me, and we're a lot more will be understand on the Day of Atonement, or what I'd say the judgment seat of Christ. Okay. Because the judgment seat of Christ is when he separates the sheep from the goat, mm-hmm. the wheat from the tares, because he's going to raise everybody. It says every knee will bow at the judgment seat of Christ. Every knee. That means us too.
Yeah.
And what did he say about Nineveh and about, I can't remember the other one, the queen of the south?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He said, I will raise them, resurrect them in the last day with the men of Capernaum.
Right.
He said, and they would, so if they're going to be raised, they were believers. Nineveh was believers. They're going to be raised, resurrected unto the kingdom. And Capernaum, which rejected Christ, they're going to be resurrected to damnation on the day of judgment. Okay, so all that. That just hit me as you were praying. I thought there were some good things to cover there. So we're still here at Armageddon. And when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, that is really going to explain a lot of things. Because I believe that's when the new heaven and the new earth come, the new kingdom. I believe that from the judgment seat of Christ is when he separates the believer and the unbeliever. And then the next event is the wedding feast or the Feast of Tabernacles when God dwells with man. And I believe between these two events, and when I say I believe the Bible teaches that. I believe between these two events, the judgment seat of Christ and the wedding feast, is when this earth is done away with, and the new earth and the new heaven and the new kingdom is for us and for him.
Yeah. Exposed, realized.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Because what does he say? He says, I will not drink of this vine until I drink of it in my Father's kingdom.
Right.
Right? And then Jesus said that in the resurrection and the world to come, they neither marry or are given in marriage. So at some point, we know this world's going to end, mm-hmm. and the new world and the new kingdom, new heaven and the new earth are going to be there. And I think that's at the judgment seat of Christ and the wedding feast. Because the wedding feast, someone's trying to get in, right?
Yeah.
They're not allowed. They don't have the wedding garment. They don't have the resurrected wedding garment to get in. They're thrown out.
They got into the courtyard,
yeah.
but they didn't get into the temple.
Yeah.
They didn't get into the place.
Right.
Because the Father of God said, you're not dressed right.
Just think of this, too. You know what? Since we're here, what What did Jesus say about Lazarus and the rich man? It was between them.
The gulf.
What did... There's a sea of glass in heaven.
Right.
It's a gulf.
Yeah.
It's a dimensional. The gulf between Lazarus and the rich man is not Lake Ontario.
Right.
It's a dimensional gulf that's between them. That the one can't go, the other can't go. So think dimensionally here. Turn to Revelation 15.
And again, when you think, turn in there and you're thinking about the dimensional change when the kingdom of God comes on this earth, it's a dimensional changing. It doesn't change necessarily a tree or the weapons that are going to be burned for 7 years.
Yeah.
The kingdom is changed. The kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of Christ.
There's more going on here than we understand.
Look at it.
Turn to Revelation 4 and Revelation 15. Here we go in another direction, but I believe that this is God doing this. Okay, so we talk about this gulf, mm-hmm. right, between Lazarus and the rich man. So when Christ was resurrected, he took the captives that were in Abraham's bosom and he brought them up to heaven, right? Okay, so there's a gulf between them and them still.
And Mary wasn't, Martha was allowed to touch.
That's right. Okay, so there's still this gulf there. I don't understand it in this world, but there's a dimensional gulf between the believers and the unbelievers, or what I would call a sea. 4:6, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes, full of behind. So, a sea of glass. That's all it says, right? A sea of glass. Look at 15:2 and tell me if you see a word added in here. 15:1, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, and then were filled the wrath of God, so we know what event this is. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. You see this? You see what's going on here? So turn to Revelation 22. Is it 22 or 21? 21. I saw 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no more. Does it say seas? Does it say waters? Does it say rivers? It says sea. So to me, the new heaven and the earth, they're done with them. They're down underneath us, and when God comes, God says he's a consuming fire. And we know that the Holy Spirit is a consuming fire because of the cloven tongues that were with fire on the early rain. And the latter rain is going to come, the Holy Spirit, with a consuming fire, not a barbecue in your backyard, but a consuming spiritual fire that is going to cleanse the earth, it's going to purify the believer, make him holy, right? And it's going to burn the unbeliever forever.
I've never looked at the sea of glass quite like that. I've always, because I read it as a sea, like you think of oceans and seagulls, right? Now, I've always thought of it like that, but when you really look at it in a spiritual sense and not a physical
sense,
and tie it in with the sea of glass and with Lazarus and the rich man and what they were observing there, you know, that there's this gulf, there's this span, there's this
chasm,
right, or a invisible layer that you can see through, that you can hear through, but you can't get through.
That's right. Do you see this? Does this making sense?
Which really makes sense about what we did.
Absolutely.
I didn't even realize the depth of it until we started talking about last week. We talked about the sheet coming down.
Dimensional things.
Right, dimensional things.
Start trying to understand your Bible like Curtis says. I call it dimensional. It's spiritual. That's actually the right word. Yeah. It's spiritual. It's real. The spiritual world is a real world. And a lot of people will say, well, it's, you know, the God's throne is in your heart. Yeah, I get that. It is. It is in your heart. But there's not cherubs in there.
Right.
And, you know, what I'm saying? These are angels. There's angels in there. No, this is a real place that you have to have here first, and then it's going to be revealed to you. So I'll say it again. This is fascinating stuff. Here's the Valley of Armageddon. There's the slaughter of every human being.
Right.
Here's the Valley of Jehoshaphat, Mount of Olives. What did he say about the Mount of Olives? He said he's going to cleave it open.
Right.
That he's going to open it up. And if he's coming down, if he's going to open it up and he's going to judge everybody in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat opens, where do they go? They go down.
There's a picture of that in Exodus.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. That's right. So and the Bible says that the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up.
Right.
So if they're going down here, and this is the Valley of Jehoshaphat, Mount of Olives, and now the dimensional, the spiritual world is here, and there's a sea of glass under here, we might be able to see them. So the verse that people don't understand says, we walked by and we saw their carcasses. There could be some legitimacy to this, that we can be on the sea of glass, this dimensional thing that they can't come to, and we can't go to them, but we are aware, we can see what's going on down there.
This is just a thought. What is the firmament? It's glass.
It's glass, yeah.
So that's an interesting thought. That the firmament is glass. And it's looking at Job 37, verse 18, hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong and as a molten looking glass.
Mm-hmm.
So the firmament, I just, that's another thought too.
What is molten? What is molten?
Melting.
We're in agreement. Absolutely.
Kayla.
So isn't that the removal of a sea, isn't that another picture of the veil being removed?
Yeah.
And that now you can see into the Holy Holy.
Yes.
There's no more.
And that's what I said about people like, well, there's not going to be any more water. Yes, there is. There's clearly a river that comes out of the throne of God. There's waters, there's lakes. There's clearly water, real water on the earth. There's going to be fish in the sea. This is not what it's talking about. It's talking about, like Gayla said, the veil, the spiritual, the veil, the dimensional. That start understanding your Bible this way, and I think this will help you understand the book of Revelation. If you start understanding it spiritually.
Go ahead.
Okay, so this firmament that's over the earth, I'm not going to get into the flat. But he takes this firmament and opens it up, folds it back, or lifts it and lowers it down. The sea of glass. Right now it's a dome of glass. It's the firmament that's over the earth. And he takes this glass, he moltens it, melts it, makes it final, opens it up, lays it down.
Oh, man.
Okay? So think of it like that. He just, this dome that's here, opens it up.
That's right.
He lays it down. Now you can see everything.
Now everything's open.
Everything's revealed.
That's right.
All of the things that is now, that makes everything tie in. That makes Ezekiel 39 tie in.
Yeah.
That makes Revelation.
It's all awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Right?
It's awesome.
And so I wouldn't have thought about it unless you had brought up the firmament. Then it's
just
going
to look up, they're going to see
it. It's going to just.
And that's just it. When he appears, the veil, it says, I saw heaven open.
And what's it say about the flood? God opened
the windows.
And the waters came in.
Right.
Yep. And when you see that in Revelation 11 and 19, I think there's another place that says, I saw, not the windows, I saw heaven open. And he's going to fold it all up. You're going to be able to see God. And it's not just Jesus coming in the clouds. It says the kingdom of God and the God sitting on the throne and Christ coming in his wrath.
And he opens the cisterns of the deep.
That's right. Think of that. We've talked about this in Isaiah, about Elisha's servant, that said, hey, we're about to get pounded by this physical, real army here on this earth. And Elisha says, Lord, open up his eyes. He opens up his eyes, and there's a host of heaven all around him, chariots. See the chariots, the angels? They're not just in here.
No.
They're real.
Oh, yeah.
And
they're coming.
It's a beautiful picture.
It really is.
Where our hope is, in that resurrection.
It really is.
And the only way we can see it, and the only way we can be encouraged by it, is when we look for it spiritually.
Absolutely. And that is what's so unique about what is going on. Like you said, that he has brought people from, nobody wants us.
Right.
No, nobody likes us.
Amen.
We're the ones sitting in church and actually question things.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, nobody likes us. Get out. So God says, I got a place, a little place. There's only going to be a few of them. And there's a little place in Caledonia where they're all going to gather. And I am going to feed my flock. I got a dope up there that barely graduated school. He can barely tie his shoes. He's going to be up there, and he's going to be given to. I'm not teaching nothing.
Right.
He's teaching it.
Right.
He's just showing us through the Word of God how these things work. And Masha brought it up. He makes me cry because I'm stupid. I'm not just saying that to just like humility. I am. I don't know. How could you use me?
Yeah.
Who am I? And yet he does to just understand these things.
Right.
I was searching on some scriptures just to try to get the scriptures from the things people were saying. But anyways, Revelation 10:8, it says, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is opened in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth.
That's fascinating.
Did you read that again?
Revelation 10:8.
That was good.
Read it
now. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth.
So what's he going to do? When you're standing on something, what did Jesus do? He took dominion.
Right.
He took dominion of it, the sea and the earth.
And where is it at?
The kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord. Heaven is my throne, the earth
is my footstool.
Yeah, the earth is my footstool. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
This is going to happen. And I think we're not the only ones. There's a lot of people that see what we do, but we are rare in Christian community because they're all just going along with dispensation.
Well, they're only looking at the physical aspects of these things, right? They're only saying, well,
remnants are always small.
Scraps,
right? The scraps from the refrigerator stuff that's left over from the big meal.
Yeah.
But they're the most tasty.
Okay, so that was, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Do we get it? I mean, right? Do you see it?
Well, I think we're learning a little bit more every single week
because
there are things that were illuminated today that were questioned last week.
Yeah.
Okay, and God allowed those things that were questioned last week to kind of simmer a little bit in your mind. You know, it was several times in my prayer life this week that God would really show me, you know, a deeper understanding. And then he brought this goofball over here to talk about you, Kevin. So, about the firmament, you know, being glass, and then which illuminated the thing, that sea of glass. In it. So God keeping us in this globe, and then opening it up and lowering it down, opening up and bringing that sea of glass down that we can see it. And that is God's righteousness coming down. Right
That's
now,
right.
His throne is in heaven, right? And his righteousness is going to come down like a garment
That's right.
to lay over the unrighteousness of this world that is living in the earth.
So if the throne's on a sea of glass, and that sea of glass all of a sudden is mingled with fire, and he is coming down, he's bringing that kingdom with him. And what does Hebrews 12 say? Our God is a consuming
fire,
which means he's going to consume all things.
Yeah.
That's why, to me, this whole thing about weapons and all this stuff, I don't care.
Yeah.
You're not talking about earthly, you're not talking about tanks over there in the Ukraine. We're talking about dimensional, spiritual.
Right.
Don't forget, these creatures, they have weapons of warfare.
Oh, yeah.
He has a bow. So,
right.
You know, we'll see
yeah.
even more into this. That's why I believe like the 1/6 that is constantly being brought up. First of all, Gog is a principality.
Right.
He is from the land of Gog and Magog of the parts of the north. That's a dimensional place. It's not Turkey.
Right.
Right? It's a dimensional place. And it also says coming with bows, spears. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about dimensional warfare weapons that I believe this is the 7 years of burning these things up for 7 days because there's still even a purification period of, what is seven? Completeness, right? So there's still a purification time, whether it's the new world or not, that he's still cleansing things. And think of this too. As I thought of this recently. He's going to throw them out of heaven, right? So heaven's actually not perfect right now. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
Right.
Because there's evil angels, there's devils up there. Satan goes to and fro. What's he going to do in the last day? He's going to throw them out of heaven. I saw Satan and a third of the angels followed him, came to the earth. So he throws them out of heaven, and then the kingdom of heaven is coming to the earth, and they're still going to be on the earth? It doesn't make sense.
That kingdom is both spiritual and physical.
That's right.
It was in Eden.
That's right.
When that comes down, it's going to have weight.
Exactly.
It's going to push things into the center of the earth where heaven and fire are.
So he just cleansed heaven. You know, you read that when you read the 24 elders, they fall down to worship him. They're not people. They're an angelic order.
I could go on.
Okay, but you can see where, so he just threw them out of heaven to the earth only so they could be on the earth with us?
No, so that they could be covered.
That's right.
By the sea.
It's starting to make sense now, isn't it?
It's not a sea of glass.
Come on.
We're walking on the sea of glass.
Yes.
We are being fully over them.
Yes.
Amen. Because of God's righteousness.
They are under us.
Not because.
And I think we can see each other. That's what happened in the Great Gulf. You could see each other.
They could see each other.
We can even talk.
That's right. Lucifer realizes that he can no longer go through that sea, that veil, that firmament, that glass that's over us right now. He has the power to go in and out. But when this righteousness comes, it's sealed.
That's right.
He can't go through it anymore. He can't get to the righteousness.
But I wonder if we'll be able to see because it'll be streets of gold. But don't you think it would be the reflection of God, Jesus' glory that keeps us from...
Amen.
Being,
and I don't want to see
that would be...
Right. Well, and clearly it's not the whole earth. It's under the throne.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and it says in 1 Corinthians when he has put all things under his feet. So, I mean, this could literally... Once again, we're trying to understand it, like, but, I mean, it says under the throne. So you still have a planet that has been recreated with water, plants, deer running, bear, lions eating grass.
I mean, so bad. I see these beautiful deer and you can't eat them.
Well, you're not going to want to.
Yeah.
I mean, they're if you were a vegan, this is going to be the best time for you. Right now, I love the meat.
Yeah.
I had a garbage plate yesterday. but I'm going to enjoy the meat in this world because
there you go.
We're not going to have it in that.
Right.
Although there's going to be eating.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Why am I going to be in this perfect body? Am I going to have to eat? It's fellowship.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Right.
Okay. So I thought that was great.
Yeah.
I mean, that took... We got probably about 20, half hour to finish Armageddon. And then next week, we're really... I think that was important because I really think... I'm just the dude up here. Yeah. I really believe this is being led by God.
There's two sides that I'm getting right now. I mean, I'm really excited that at this moment, there's illumination that's happened. On the other side of it, my heart's breaking for those who wouldn't set until the body was ready to be illuminated.
My heart breaks for the ones who are, I consider our brothers and sisters.
Yes,
I consider that.
Yeah, not doubting their salvation.
But are being lied to.
Yeah.
Are being lied to. They're willingly ignorant.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear what we're saying. They run out of here because we say something different. And I say it all the time.
Yeah.
What they're missing out on and wanting to be removed before all this stuff, they're missing out on the blessing during that time. If God's got you in his hand, what do I care if I live or die? I don't care. If he's got me, what do I care if I live or die, if I'm martyred, or if I'm preserved?
Stephen's an example.
That's right.
Amen.
He was fine being stoned.
That's right.
You're right. Yeah.
He was fine.
Yeah. See, the very nature of what we're talking about is that this is what's missing.
Yeah.
We're talking about stuff. We're kind of girding ourselves up for the coming days.
Yeah.
And it's most of the evangelical church, anyways.
Yeah.
It's not there.
That's right. And I know, I think actually God has prepared last week for this week, and then this week for next week. I think it just gives us more understanding of the events that take place. So
it takes a while to dig these stones up. It takes a while to look at this properly.
Well,
you know?
God, he's not going to reveal everything to us. Right?
Right.
He gives you a little at a time, a little at a time. I feed him a little at a time, right? let's finish Armageddon. Now, Curtis brought up a lot of Isaiah 24.
Yeah.
So we're going to Isaiah 24 again. We're going to look at the last part of it. Curtis brought up, you know what, it's hard to ignore.
Yeah, it is. It's
everybody there? Isaiah 24. This is going to be hard to ignore.
Amen.
I mean, you take this, your Bible literally. I do.
Yeah.
Okay. Isaiah 24, 1.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste. He turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be with the people, so with the priest, and with the servant, and with his masters, with the maid, and her mistress, and with the buyer, with the seller, and with the lender, and the borrower, and the taker of usury, and the giver of usury. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. For the Lord of hosts had spoken this word. The Lord mourneth, the earth mourneth and fadeth away, the world languisheth and fadeth away, and the haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, and they have transgressed the laws, and changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein, and they that dwell therein, are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. We'll get into that, I promise. But look at 17. Fear the pit. Where's the pit? Hell.
Yeah.
And what is it, Kev? It's bottomless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
If it's bottomless, it's dimensional.
Right.
Fear the pit and the snare upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit.
Mm-hmm.
And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in a snare. Who comes up out of the pit?
Lucifer and his
four. Antichrist.
Yeah.
Comes up out of the pit.
Yeah.
For the windows on heaven are open, and the foundations of the earth do quake. The earth is utterly broken down, the earth is clean dissolved, and the earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. The end of this world, it's it for this world.
Yeah.
And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will, so here you go, here's Armageddon, shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. So you have two groups of people there.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the high ones?
Spirits.
They're the fourth kingdom,
yeah.
Right? And we said, that's what Daniel says, there's going to be a mingled kingdom of the dimensional and the earthly.
Yeah.
Okay? And they shall be gathered together in a prison.
As prisoners.
As prisoners that are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in prison, and after many days shall be visited. So here you go. This is Revelation 20. When they're released out of their prison, right? Why? There's no war. They're not on the earth dwelling with us. They're released out of the prison. They're in prison. Why? Because they're doing their time. And they're going to be released out of their prison. Why? Because they are now going to go before the great, great throne of judgment and the lake of fire, cast into the lake of fire where death and hell are.
And on one day, the next one, the moon shall be confounded.
That's right.
The sun
yep.
shall be ashamed. The moon and the stars and
that's
the
right.
sun shall be darkened.
Takes us right back
to
here.
Takes us right back to there. Yeah.
See? It's hard to do this study because so many of you're covering so many of these events. But what I started to see in the Bible is, yes, there's these events, but there's an order to them. And I think even people that study eschatology think, well, the rapture happens and that's it. But no, there's a chain of events that take place on
yeah.
that day. Okay, so Isaiah 34. Nancy, you want to read? 34, 1 through 8.
Isaiah 34, 1 through 8. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as the falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edom and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and the blood of lambs and goats with the fat of the kidney of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Edom. And their unicorns shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion.
Well done, my dear. And you can just keep reading on. Right. There's just more. You just, that's what you know, me and Asha started noticing when we started studying eschatology and end times. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. The second coming is everywhere. What event is this clearly talking about? The sword of the Lord. I only know one place in the book of Revelation. It's Armageddon. When he's coming to slaughter them, not us. Right? And, I mean, he's clearly tying in the destruction of this world and the earth with that event. Right?
He calls the Bible his a sword.
Absolutely. Good.
So it's mentioned outside of just Armageddon. The sword.
Well, the
he
sword.
He comes out with a sword.
Yeah.
Right? The word of God is a sword. It's not just in Armageddon that we hear the
sword.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, what did Jesus say? I've come not to bring peace unto the word.
Yes.
So it divides. The word.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, when I'm talking about when he's talking about Revelation, it says it is Armageddon.
The sword is not.
He said that he, and out of his, so there's Armageddon in Revelation 15, and out of his mouth goes the sharp sword that he should smite the nations. So he's, so what's, so like you said, the Bible is the sword, right? There's the sword coming. So wait, he's speaking. It's not a sword, right? Once again, the spiritual. It's not a sword flinging out of his mouth. It's his words that are destroying.
And who is the word?
That's right. He's the word. The Bible is the word. The sword is the word. And that's what he's going to do at Armageddon. He's speaking to them and he's slaughtering them.
Right. It's
and
the sword of the spirit.
It's the sword of the spirit.
Six. Everything else is defense.
That's right. That's right. Did you ever hear that? That was good. That was good.
Say again, Lord.
No, we are
here. Galatians 6.
Yeah.
That's an excellent point.
It's the sword of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. The only offensive weapon given in Galatians 6.
Yeah.
Everything else is defense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what I meant. I'm not just trying to tie the sword into Armageddon. But at Armageddon, he's coming down and he is speaking. And he's slaughtering the unbeliever.
Does anyone know where I-D-U-M-E-A
is? Yeah, it's in the Petra, down and through there. Like, here's Israel.
Right.
And then down and through here is
Petra
and
so it would be, starts with E. Esau's.
Edom. Yeah, it's down and through there.
Where the Edomites are.
Yeah. And he's clearly traveling. You know, but this is not just talking about Idumea.
No.
Because, I mean, if he's talking about burning up the whole world.
Right.
The earth. Okay. All right. Isaiah 61. And I love this because you see this in Luke. Luke, this is when Jesus steps into the temple and he opens the scroll. This is fascinating stuff. And he opens the scroll and he starts to read out of it. And he stops. We'll go ahead and read it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and it sent me to bind up the brokenhearted.
Amen. Come on.
To proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. It's us.
Yeah.
We were bound. We were in prison. Yeah. We were captive.
Yeah.
That's us. And he came and he set us free.
Yeah.
To proclaim, and here it is. Here's when he closed the book.
Yeah.
to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Boom. He closed it. You know, that's his first coming, right? His grace upon sinful mankind, now paid by the one who was going to pay it, prophesied from the few into from the past, received from the future, right? And then he closes it here, so you have both comings, the first coming and the second coming, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort them that all that mourn. So here it is. Here's the first and second coming right here in a simple little word, and you can see it. He came the first time, grace. He's coming the second time, vengeance. But not for us. It's not right to comfort all those that mourn. We're going to mourn. We're going to see him. We're going to say, here it is. Finally, this is what all we've, the whole human history has been waiting for, the redemption. The Christ is going to appear. He's going to save his people, and he's going to curse the damned.
And you have to read verse 3.
Amen.
You can't not.
I
just got to make a comment here. This verse here, I think of him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He has every right to be mad at the world.
Yeah.
He's been such a blessing to me.
Amen.
Seeing him, seeing his joy in him, seeing the person he is, the loving, kind person that he is, and he has every right to be mad. Mm-hmm. He has every right to be mad at God. Mm-hmm. And he is one of the most genuine, loving people I've ever come across.
Yeah.
And if I never came here, I would have never known him.
Right. The whole Bible, from the beginning to the end, is how God brings his people back.
That's right.
Amen.
And he punishes them, brings them back into the fold. They drift away. He punishes them and brings them back.
Yep.
And when I studied Old Testament, which I had to in college, and then I read the New Testament, I realized that one garnishes the other.
Yeah.
And
Amen.
It's not two separate.
No.
It's all about.
It's chastening. God says, if I don't love you, I won't chasten you. It's his chastening in a loving, kind way.
That's right.
Yeah.
Not always loving and kind.
Okay. So, Wendy, to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and oil for joy, for mourning, the garment of praise and the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Mm-hmm. That's it. Why do I live my life? Why do I not want to sin? I love my God. I want to glorify him. I don't want to look like the rest of the world, not because I want to be noticed. I want me to glory him.
In this verse 3, just examine that for just a second, just a tad deeper than this. To appoint them that mourn. All right, who's mourning and why are we mourning? Who's mourning and why are they mourning? When the righteousness, when the judgment of God comes down, huh?
Satan mourns.
Satan mourns. I'll be mourning for my saints. Right, amen.
Yeah.
I'll be mourning for my loved ones,
yeah.
for my friends, for my neighbors that don't know the Lord.
Yeah.
All right? He to appoint them that mourn in Zion. Zion, spiritual.
That's right.
It's the spiritual kingdom coming.
That's right.
That mourn, to give them beauty for ashes. As God destroys the wickedness and burns this, he's going to replace that with the glory of God.
These are the scripture. This is the scripture that you hide in your heart and keep there, because we are going to see the sorrow, the mourning, the ashes.
Yeah.
We're going to see this, and it's this scripture that will sustain us.
Absolutely.
That this is what the Lord is going to
do. I think, like what you're saying, there are verses that I hang my hat on.
Yep.
And
right.
These are, this is the
God
I know.
Favorite scripture. I have my favorite scripture. Folks say that all the time. All of them are favorite.
Yeah.
I like all of them. From the first God said to the final angel.
I know.
Right? I like them all. But we're going to be that they, the ones who are receiving the joy, that are receiving the oil for joy, that are in the garment of praise and the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness. We are going to be the glory of Christ.
That's right.
We're going to, God's going to show us, the Father, the Son, is going to show his righteousness through those who have trusted in him, the persecuted, right?
Persecuted.
His glory, will be shown in us. We are his crown of glory.
That's right.
Praise God for that.
What did Jesus say? I'm the water of life. If you think of it, it says that you will be as trees planted by the water.
And I could not have known the depth of his love until I knew the depth of mourning.
Right.
To really lose something that is so a part of you.
Yeah.
That is the only time God could possibly have shown me the depth of his love.
What the rest of the world is doing is that they'll blame him for things that go wrong in their life. They blame him. They neither love him or whatever, but they blame him. But when things are good in their life, they neither glorify him.
Right.
Instead of blaming him, we ought to be saying, what are you doing?
Right.
What are you doing?
Right.
What are you teaching me? And it's all to draw you closer into him.
The great thing about that morning is that it comes to an end and God wipes away our tears.
I will wait.
There is a purpose. It is not for nothing. The pain we go through is not for ever for nothing.
Right.
Well, you think of it, Wendy, that day when he comes, we'll have loved ones.
Right.
That we will see go under the sea glass.
Under the sea glass. Can't get back.
It can never come back. It's older.
The chance for their salvation is done.
That's right. But we will also know he did right.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. He's just.
Your judgments are just. Yes. Right.
That's right. Yeah.
It's not that they doesn't have a chance to be saved.
He doesn't
make
mistakes.
Not to be saved.
That's right. Now, I think we'll even get a greater understanding of this when you receive the latter rain, Holy Spirit, the resurrected body, that what they did, as much as I love that person, my cousin, brother, whatever it is, they rejected the free gift of grace.
Yes.
That's arrogance. Mm-hmm. That is arrogance now to think that you can do it without him.
Again, they love this world.
Yes.
That's right.
They love the gift
of
the Father, which was Christ.
Yep.
There's a human saying that says either you worship the Lord or you worship the dollar.
Amen.
You better make up your decision at an early age.
Yeah.
Well, you can't worship.
It'll determine how you live your life. You
can't serve two masters.
You can't.
I think a lot of heartbreak, too, you look at the former things, no longer being remembered, they're brought to mind, wiping away of all our tears.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that it's a whole a whole upgrade for us.
A whole upgrade. I like that.
Love and,
you're not going to get the new cell phone 6 or what, Google 12 or whatever it is.
Like you said, the upgrade is now even a deep, because this is going nowhere.
Right.
Right? This is forever.
The word
we were talking Tuesday night how we were just 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and we were, it's one of the smallest chapters, and we didn't even finish it because we understood there's more depth to what we're just reading here on the pages.
Mm-hmm.
When it says when we get into his kingdom, he's going to teach us these things.
Right.
So I think there's even more that we are going to learn through here.
Again, what we're looking at is not
the
full picture, because our physical mind cannot accept the full glory of God, of the Scripture. He's illuminating us now because we're seeking to be illuminated.
That's right.
But there comes a day when the light fully comes on. Y'all remember those old TVs where you turned it on, it's a little dot? Right? And then you gotta wait, and before long it's the full screen. Well, we can see a little dot. We might even see a little bit of the growing of the tubes warming up as we're coming to the full illumination of Christ.
And we see in part and know in part.
That's right. But then
we will fully.
What
a day.
I look forward to it.
It's all here. It just gets revealed as he reveals it.
And just believe
it's all here.
And nobody told you have to understand everything. Just believe what you're reading.
Right.
He knows the verse, the secret things belong to the Lord, those revealed belong to us and to our children.
Yeah.
There's so much we can take and so much God assures we can.
It's right.
It perfectly.
Especially in this realm. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he gives you a little, and we all come together. And we feed off
and
each other.
Yeah.
This is the whole point of fellowship.
Yeah. Look how much we've grown in a year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
With our knowledge and our understanding and
fellowship,
everything is.
Absolutely.
That's how much confidence I've grown over this pandemic time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the way that God, he gleaned out who I was really comfortable with. And Mr. Cal's comfortable with folks. And he gave me folks that I ain't comfortable with.
Well,
y'all challenge me. Keep me in the Word and make me dig. Because I know if I do something that's not biblical, I got brothers and sisters will say, "Will you explain that?"
Why?
I heard what you said, but what did you mean?
And God will start, you know, you don't want to hear it, God will get you out of here.
Amen.
And we've
yeah.
seen it.
Yeah.
You don't like what's being taught, you don't like what you're hearing, God will say, okay, I'll remove you. Go somewhere
yeah.
else.
Somewhere.
You yeah. know, and I'm just going to keep feeding these people.
Yeah, there's a woman down the street preaching out of the whatever translation of the Democrat Chronicle that you want. You know, but you can find that. You can find unicorns and rainbow preachers on every single corner.
Right.
But the truth
right.
is hard to find.
Well, and you know, it's interesting, too, because we did read about unicorns, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right. He's clearly not talking about some horsey with a sugar cone sticking
yeah.
out
yeah.
of his head farting
yeah.
rainbow. Right? This is a clearly a dimensional creature. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's clearly a dimension.
Yes.
But
mm-hmm.
may I just
yeah.
say one thing? That those that are struggling with
yeah.
those that have,
oh, yeah.
that can be in part in fear. That
yeah.
can be
yeah.
to leave something, we were talking about at one point, that they think they're on solid ground.
Yeah.
yeah.
We're telling them that what's under them
yeah.
is not solid.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
want to, they don't want to be convinced.
Right.
So they leave because they
yeah.
want the simple answer.
Answer.
But that doesn't mean they have rejected it necessarily for their
yeah.
life.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think there's a reason
when
for it. I think when these things start to happen,
yes.
they're going to go, let's go back to what they were doing.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Or
okay.
maybe at the time that the door shuts, it's too late.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 25, real quick, we'll finish Armageddon, and then next week's going to be good.
Jeremiah
25.
Jeremiah
25. 25:15. We'll get this through this real quick. 25:15. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup and the fury in my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it, and they shall drink it, and shall be moved, and be mad because of the sword which I will send among them.
Mm-hmm.
Then I took the cup at the Lord's hand, and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me. So now he's going to go name a bunch of the nations. Verse 26, and all the kings of the north, where's the north? Far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world which are on the face of the earth, and the king of Shishak is Babylon, shall drink of them. Okay. Yeah, this is what he's talking about. He's talking about the wine of wrath here.
Right.
Okay. Okay, 33. And the slain of the Lord shall be in that day from one end of the earth unto the other end of the earth, and they shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried, and their dung shall be upon the ground. Okay, so there you can see a slaughter turned to Jeremiah 50. 35-40. I'm going to suggest to you, too, that a Chaldean is not a human.
Okay.
The reason I say that is because in Daniel, when he's gathering the astrologers, the prognosticator, he mentions four people.
Mm-hmm.
And one's an astrologer, the other, they're like wizards, whatever. And the fourth one is a Chaldean.
Right.
That's different from the other three. You know what I mean? He's clearly a dimensional type creature. So 35, sword upon the Chaldeans, saith the Lord, and the inhabitants of Babylon, and upon her princes, and upon her wise men, a sword upon all, upon the liars that don't, a sword upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed. A sword shall be upon their horses and their chariots and upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her, and they shall become as women, a sword upon her treasures, and they shall be robbed. A drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up, and the land of graven images, they are mad upon their idols. Therefore, the wild beasts of the desert and the wild beasts of the islands dwell there, and the owls therein, and there shall be no more inhabitants forever, neither shall they be dwelt in from their generation to generation. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbors, the cities thereof, saith the Lord, so no man shall abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell there. So 46, At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry is heard among the nations. So there you go. From what I can see, Armageddon is, it's over. Whoever living person was on this earth that was an unbeliever, he is gathered to Armageddon, and he is slaughtered. So now everyone has died on this day. Even a believer, this body has to come off. Although the ones that are raptured, maybe they didn't taste death, but that body is still going to die because they're going to be given a new body. So everybody is dead here on at Armageddon. And at the judgment seat, you see everybody risen. Okay? I thought this was good. I thought this was really good stuff. All right, I'll just finish off and pray. Lord God, you are wonderful. You are, Lord, I don't know why you're patient with us. I don't know why you're patient with me. I just, the person you are, the God of the universe, full of mercy, full of compassion, thank you for shedding it on a people who don't deserve it. Let us never forget the pit that we were dug out of and what we really deserve. But a kind, merciful God has sent his Son into this world to save people like us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, if I have said anything here in error, you know it's not pride or vainglory. If it's been an error, Lord, chastise me. Don't hold it against my brothers and sisters, but hold it against me and correct me. But remember that I'm dust. Remember me in your kindness. Mm-hmm. And I just thank you, Lord God, for who you are and what you're doing here with this group of saints. And I pray for Curtis as he brings forth more of the world, more of the word of God to us to feed us, Lord. And let us not forget that you did come in on a donkey. But you're coming back on a charger as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let us never forget that. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.